Mark chapter 6, if you go there, please, if you have a Bible, if not, just follow along and I'll share some things with you. I've got a very short message this evening called Send the Harlot Back to Her Mother. Send the Harlot Back to Her Mother. Mark chapter 6. Some of you are looking for a word and you feel you've got it already. Herod, who was the governing ruler, had married a woman that it was not lawful for him to have. Now, it was an unlawful attachment. Now, many, many people have unlawful attachments in their life. By that I mean it's something that you are very familiar with, something that you have taken into your heart. You embrace it, perhaps even daily. And you know that God's Word says that you shouldn't have this in your life. It's something you embrace. Now, listen to how this story begins to play out. Verse 18 says, John had said to Herod, it's not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him, and she would have killed him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was just a just man and a holy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things, and heard him gladly. And when a convenient day was come, that Herod, on his birthday, made a supper to his lords, high captains, and chief estates of Galilee. And when the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced, and pleased Herod and them that sat with him, the king said to the damsel, ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee. And he sware unto her, whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it to thee, unto the half of my kingdom. And she went forth and said to her mother, what shall I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. And she came in straightway with haste unto the king, and asked, saying, I will that thou give me by and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist. And the king was exceeding sorry, yet for his oath's sake, and for their sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her. And immediately the king sent an executioner, and commanded his head to be brought, and he went and beheaded him in prison, and brought his head in a charger, and gave it to the damsel, and the damsel gave it to her mother. And when his disciples heard of it, they came and took up his corpse and laid him in a tomb. I want to talk to you tonight about what happens when lust is not put away. Whatever the lust is, I'm not talking just about sexual lust. There's a lust for fame. There's a lust for ease. There's a lust for pleasure. They're all types. Now, defining lust as something in the heart that is moving you towards something that God warns you will take away your spiritual light. They will take away your life. It will take away your eyes. It will take away your heart. And in the coming days, especially the days that we're living in, it will take away your courage. You'll be found among the fearful. Your eyes were not fixed on Jesus Christ and on the Word of God. Your heart was not given to the things of God, and you played an extremely dangerous game at a very, very foolish time. Now, the Bible says about John that he had an association, he had a marriage as it is, but he was attached to this woman and it was not lawful. And the woman that he was attached to hated the voice of God that was coming to Herod through John. And the scripture says that she would have killed him, but she could not. Now I'm telling you, if your heart is towards God, Satan may oppose you and oppose Christ with everything he's got, but he cannot stop God from speaking to you if you have an open heart. He cannot stop the kingdom of God from advancing in your life. He cannot stop every prison door. Oh, how the devil hates it. When you hear the word of God and you begin to move towards what God is speaking, identifying and knowing it to be the words of eternal life. How many times throughout history has he heard the spiritual key come and unlock a prison of somebody that he had captivated? Seemingly, as he thought, forever and all eternity, only to see them released because somebody turned to Jesus Christ in spirit and in truth with all of their heart. The Bible says that Herod feared John, and he was a just man, and knowing that he was just and a holy man, and observed him. In other words, in a type. Herod loved to go to church, but of course church was through John, and John would obviously come into the ruler's court. But Herod loved to hear this man. just the way many of you have come into this house tonight, you really do love to clap your hands. You love the songs of Zion, as it is that we sang earlier in the evening. You love the choir specials that talk about who Jesus Christ is and what he can do. And you really do know this is truth. In your heart and in your mind, you know that Jesus Christ is holy and that he's just and he's true and he's pure and the things that he speaks are right. And John and Herod, it says, observed him. He gladly received him into his presence as it is. And when he heard him, the scripture says in verse 20, he did many things and heard him gladly. Amazing. He did many things. How many here tonight, you've heard some of the gospel at least, and you've done many things. Perhaps you've made restitution for some thing that you did in the past that was wrong. And maybe you chose to forgive somebody who wronged you. There are many, many things that you've done. And Herod did many things. But he had an association. I want to tell you something. The devil does not need more than a toe in the door of your life to ruin you. He had an association. One thing. I think of the rich young ruler who ran to Jesus with this very deep and religious devotion, but an inner knowledge that things were not right with God. And he runs, and the scripture says he worshiped him and said, "What must I do to have eternal life?" And Jesus said, "There's only one thing left that you need to do." Could you imagine getting to the point where there's only one thing left and the danger of not dealing with that one thing? Some association, something you're reading, something you're doing, some place you're going, something you're speaking, something you're involved in. You know what it is tonight, and God knows. And so does the devil. And God sends his word to this man, and he heard him and did many things and heard him gladly. But he had a problem. I guess in Herod's case, he liked to party. He liked good times. He thought, well, church is narrow, and I couldn't just kind of sit here all day and listen to John. As much as he's righteous and holy, I live in a real world. And surely God must want me to have some fun. And so he was a guy who just liked to throw parties, especially parties in which he was the center of attraction. And on his birthday, he threw a party, and Satan saw his chance. And the daughter of the woman that he was married to unlawfully was sent all of a sudden by her mother, saying, you see, because she knew that this man was a lustful man. And she sent her daughter to dance, and just like a snake in a basket, she came and danced before this man Herod. And if you play with sin, there is a day it will catch you. Be sure, the Bible says, your sin will find you out. There is a day. If you put a bullet in a chamber and keep spinning the chamber and randomly firing it at yourself, there is a day. There is a day that your luck will run out. And people who play with sin, I've been around a long time in the Christian church now, and I've watched this over and over. People who play with sin get caught eventually. Some little thing that they thought was insignificant, a little association, but they knew God's word says you're not to do this. A little bitterness that they just would not put away. A little grievance that they felt was justified and they hung on to it. A little bit of theft from the workplace with a justification, well, I work extra hours and don't get paid, so they owe it to me anyway. Just a little bit of something. God knows what it is. A little bit of hanging around with the wrong kind of crowd. When you know that the Bible says you're not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, but yet you still make the choice because they're fun. As you see it, once in a while to hang around. They know how to have a good laugh. They're not always praying. And you're just a little bit of mixture in there. Just a little sip of this or that once in a while. What harm could it possibly bring to my life and my home and my family? And this serpent in a basket danced before him. And finally his heart was gripped. And the devil had this man exactly where he wanted him. And he uttered something so profoundly stupid when we look back in history and read it, but he called this girl, and in this moment where his heart is gripped finally with the lust that's truly been governing him all along, he says, "Ask of me what you want, and I'll give to you half of my kingdom." Can you imagine? What a foolish statement. All it is a girl who's danced and he's offering her half the kingdom. Can you imagine? But that's what people do. I'll give you half of my affection, they say. I'll give you half of my time. I'll give you half of my resources. I'll give you half of my labor. I'll give you half of my heart. And so this young girl went back to her mother and she said to her mother, well, what shall I ask for? I've got his heart now and he's offering me half the kingdom. Her mother, now I'm paraphrasing, but this is what Satan would say to her. I'm not after half of his kingdom. I'm after the voice that speaks into his heart. Yeah. I want that voice. You see, that's what the devil is after tonight. That's why he will coddle you into a mixture game of half church and half the world. Loving the word of God, but loving things that God's word says you ought not to do and ought not to touch. Because there is a day when a decision has to be made. When you surrender your heart to this thing, at least in measure, thinking still there's a measure of safety. I can always run back to John. But the devil says, no, the moment I have that portion of your heart, I couldn't care less about your kingdom. The devil said, I'm not after your job. I'm not after any of these things. I'm after the voice that speaks to you. I'm after the conviction of the Holy Ghost that comes into your heart. I don't want half of your kingdom. I want it all. Proverbs chapter 7, the writer of Proverbs speaks of a young man that he observes who's void of understanding, and he stands on a street corner and there comes to him a seductive spirit and says, come with me to my house. I have a measure of godliness about me. You can still enjoy association with me and you can still have what appears to be a relationship with God. And the writer of that particular chapter says, this young foolish man doesn't realize that this is a game for keeps. The enemy is playing for his soul and playing for his life. And he doesn't know that at the end of the chapter it says, many, many strong men have been slain by her. Men a lot stronger than you are, sir, tonight. A lot stronger than you are, ma'am. A lot more stubborn and a lot deeper will than you may possess have been taken down by the very thing that you have in your hand today. The very things that you're doing, the very things you're associating with have taken many others before you. And the scripture says he doesn't know that this game is for his life. He doesn't know that the gates that he's going into are the gates of hell itself. He doesn't realize the dangerous game that he's playing. Think of it for a moment. The king was exceedingly sorry, but he had so given his heart to this. It was an initial pride now. He was so intertwined with this that he couldn't make the break. So given to loving the praise of his friends, to loving their happy birthday songs that they were singing to him, to loving the position that he felt he had in that particular court, that he could no longer make the break. And there is a day coming, if you play with sin, that you won't be able to make the break. Just ask Brother Don Wilkerson, who's here, who heads up Teen Challenge. He was telling me this evening, it's not all just people who live on the streets now in Teen Challenge. There are people with degrees who had high jobs in very influential places in the country, and they had something in their life. And they played with it. Many of them, church backgrounds, knowing what God's word said. And they got caught. But thanks be to God tonight that there is a way out. Thanks be to God, as happened to Herod, John was taken and his head was cut off, and that voice was lost. That would be the one thing I would fear more than anything in this world. Could you imagine that if this was your last day, if this was the last time you're ever going to hear from God? Can you imagine if you're playing a game and your heart was going to be so captivated, come tomorrow morning, you're not going to be able to hear. You might even come back to Times Square Church, but the voice of the Holy Spirit will be in a tomb as far as you're concerned. Cut off and gone because that game has been played too long. But thanks be to God. The Bible says if you can hear his voice, don't harden your heart. If you can hear his voice, you should run from these associations just like you'd run from a serpent himself. You should run to the mercy of God. If you can hear his voice, it's time to rejoice and give thanks. Can you imagine if Herod had had the courage? One day you'll stand before the throne of God. And what are your party friends going to do for you then? Tell me. The things that you're giving your heart to, you give your time to, the things that you are associated with, tell me what they're going to do for you then. When only one voice matters, and only one name can be the name under which you've come to eternal life, in God, and that name is Jesus Christ. Tell me, who can do anything on that day? The Bible says very clearly that this today is the hour of our salvation. This is the time to bend the knee to God. This is the time to say, Lord, not only forgive me, but give me the power to turn away from these things that are going to ruin my life, that are going to take your sweet word out of my heart, that are going to blind my mind to the realities of eternity, that are going to take away from me safety and security in a time and a season of great, great storms all around us. Can you imagine if Herod just would have had the courage at that moment to say, I don't care what people think. I don't care what the people in my office think. I don't care what the people at this table think. I don't care what my lifelong friends think. I don't care what anybody says. But given the choice between this lust and the voice of God, I'm going to send this little harlot right back to her mother where she belongs. If he would have had the courage to say, no, sir, I know what is right. I know what is holy. I know what is good and I know what is clean. And even if I have to give up what I think and others tell me is position and authority in life, I'm ready to give it up that I may know Christ, that I may be part of his kingdom and have an assurance of eternal life when I die. If Herod had had the courage to put this lust away, I could see he would have been the one who had been dancing like David before God. How different this Bible would be if this man would have had the courage to humble himself and say, I don't care what I said. You're not taking this voice of God out of my life and out of my heart. I'm going to put you away. I'm going to put these associations away. And I'm going to go with what I know God is speaking, because this is the only voice that leads to eternal life. His is the only voice of safety. His is the only voice of genuine, true, and lasting prosperity. I could see Herod dancing before God. Can you see it? Oh, the whole kingdom may have thought he was crazy, but what does it matter in the end? Yep. Folks, what does it matter? I'd rather dance before God and have the whole world think I'm crazy than dance before the world and then stand before God one day and find out I was the one who missed it altogether. He would have heard a voice, and this voice would have spoken to him. And all he could give to this lust in his life was half of his kingdom. But had he had the courage to put it away, he would have heard another voice. And it would be a voice that didn't say, ask of me and I'll give you half of the kingdom. It would be a voice that only comes from God that says, whatever you ask, I will give it to you. Not up to half the kingdom, up to the whole kingdom of God. I will give you everything that was bought for you on Calvary. Praise be to God. I'll give you everything. I'll give you a new heart. I'll give you a new mind. I'll give you giftings and abilities you could never have on your own. I'll give you a sense of direction. You'll know where you're going. You'll know how to get there. The words you're hearing will become part of your life. I'll give you a new step. I'll give you a new song. I'll give you a new sight. I'll give you new ears. I'll give you a new body. I'll give you new hope. I'll give you new direction. And when it's all over, I'll give you everlasting life. Praise be to God. Blessed be God. Blessed be God. Blessed be God. You have to weigh tonight whether or not what you're holding to is worth it. Because soon you and I will be in eternity. Your life, the Bible says, is just a vapor. It's like a mist that appears in the morning. When the sun rises, it dissipates. It's gone. And you and I will be history in the not too distant future. Whether or not the Lord comes for us before our natural lifetime expires, we'll all be gone. 50 years or so, we'll be gone. There'll be another generation will have come. And all the things that you and I feel are really, really worth hanging on to. The question is, are they really worth hanging on to? If God's word says it's not good, then let it go. If there's any doubt in it, let it go. Because what he gives back in return is supernatural and it's eternal. You will know like you know. I don't know how else to say it. Like the blind man. All the religious are trying to figure out what happened. And he said, well, I don't really know everything that went on, but I do know one thing. I used to be blind. And now I can see. Praise God. That's exactly what God does. When we make the choice to walk with him, we get spiritual vision. And spiritual vision comes with strength and ability to do what we could never do before. And we're brought into this incredible power of a new life in Christ. God Almighty will bear witness in us that he is God, because he will make us into what we could never be. He will take us where we could never go. He will give us what we could never have. Things that are not overly cherished by anybody in this world, but things that will make your heart so glad that you will dance before God. And it won't be a Sunday dance. It'll be a Monday and a Tuesday dance and a Wednesday dance. And you'll be all alone in your room, and it'll be a Thursday dance and a Friday dance, because you have found something in God that nothing of this world could ever give you. Have the courage to put sin away. Have the courage to admit that you need a Savior. That's why God became a man and went to a cross, because you can't save yourself. Nobody here can tonight. None of your good works will ever get you into heaven. You need a Savior. Have the courage to bend your knee to God and say, Lord, your ways are right and my ways are wrong. Have the courage to say, God, I need help. I can't walk this on my own strength. I need the whole kingdom, not half. And the Lord will say to you, you have it. You have the whole kingdom. I will prove to you that I am God. I will give you the power to be a new person. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. How many tonight were willing to leave Herod's banquet? Now, don't raise your hand yet. And you're willing to say, no matter who laughs at me, no matter who's around me, no matter who doesn't understand, this is between me and God tonight. And I'm making a break with what would destroy my soul. I'm going to turn away from a life of sin. And I'm turning to God, believing that he will save me from the penalty of sin, give me a place in heaven when I die, and give me a new life here on this earth. If that's you tonight, and you're among those here who are willing to make that break, I'm going to ask you to do what Herod didn't do. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand and say, I'm going with God. Would you do that tonight? All over the sanctuary. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. For those who raise their hand, as we stand and we're going to worship in a moment, I want to ask you to come and join me at this altar. I'm going to pray a very simple prayer with you tonight, and we're going to believe God for a miracle in your life. Let's all stand. Make your way here. Annex, would you make your way here as well? Those that want to receive Christ as Savior, just make your way down unashamedly. Meet me here. It's so good to see so many young people here tonight. There's never a greater decision you'll make in your life than the one you're making tonight. You're exchanging a life of sin for the cleanness. We call it righteousness, but it's the cleanness that God offers because his son, Jesus Christ, took your place on a cross. You're exchanging, and God says, I receive it. It's not a fair exchange. I mean, who gets the better deal out of this? God gets our mess and we get his cleanness. But it is the exchange that God wanted. He said, I'll give my life for you. And I require of you to acknowledge that you needed me to die on a cross for you. And this is not a one-time thing that you do in church, in a sense. It's a life you begin to live. You're giving me your life. It's not just a service where you come in and pray a prayer and then go back to your old ways again. This is a new life. He said, if you call out to me, I'll not only save you, but I'll come and live in you. And I'll give you the power to be a new person. I'll change you from the inside out. And you will know that I am God. If you believe that I died and took your place on a cross, and if you confess me with your mouth, the Bible says that you will be saved. Praise be to God. What an hour this is to be living. This is a great night. Look at the number of people coming into the kingdom of God. Now, for those who have come, pray this simple prayer with me. If you truly mean it in your heart, the Bible says you'll be saved. Now, that means that you will be free from the penalty of your sin. You're not going to hell when you die. You're going to go to heaven. You'll learn about these things, even if you're not even familiar with that is. You'll understand that there was a time of punishment reserved for you because you didn't know God. But now that God has spoken to your heart and you're receiving Him, you're free from that because God took that punishment on Himself when He died on the cross. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus Christ, I am a sinner. I've lived in a way that's wrong according to your word. I'm sorry for how I've lived. And I don't want to live that way anymore. I'm thankful tonight that you loved me so much, that you came to this world and you died a vicious death to pay the price for the wrong things that I have done. I love you, Lord Jesus, for doing that for me. Tonight I bend my knee to you as Lord God of the universe and of my life. And I open my heart to you, and I receive your forgiveness, and I ask you to come into my life and be my Lord and be my Savior from this day forward. Give me the power to live a new life. Break the chains of sin in my heart and in my mind, and let your name be glorified through me. I believe with all my heart that this night my sins are washed away. I am a new person because of Christ Jesus. I believe that I will learn to dance before God and to know what it is to have the joy of being forgiven. I believe that your voice will speak to my heart. Your word will speak to my life, and you will guide me from this day forward. God Almighty, thank you that I can hear your voice. And tonight, I know that I'm going to heaven when the day that I die. I am saved from the penalty of sin. I am set free from the power of sin. I'm a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. God, thank you. Now give Him praise and give Him thanks. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, mighty God. Praise be to God. Give Him praise. Give Him glory in this house. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Beloved, this is just a sample tonight of what God is about to do in New York City. It's the beginning of it's the first drop of an absolute thunderstorm in New York City. Oh God, we give you thanks. God, we give you praise. Give Him praise tonight.